out was that when people are seeing things that are very distraughtful, in the end, they will psychologically fall apart. In all eras and in all countries, there are sad stories that people things have to go through. And in humanity, there's also movies that provide a lot of excitement to people, and those are movies that have a happy ending. In the present day, where is the highest focal point? Well, it's some people might say it's the Walt Disney Company. Disney is well known for its happy ending movies. There's almost nothing that ends in a bad ending or a sad ending. So for that reason, Disney has been quite popular for many generations in many different countries. Why is it that we humans prefer to have a happy ending to stories? Well, it's because we also have that same desire for our own lives, isn't it? For example, in our darkness, even if we're walking through darkness in our lives, we realize that that's not how it was intended to be. And there's one more thing that I would like to share about movies that are preferred by people, and that's where the main character undergoes a huge transformation. Like the frog becomes a prince, or the ugly duck becomes a white swan, or a wooden doll becomes a human, or an unhappy woman becomes a present princess. So many people prefer these happy ending stories, and they want their life to end in such a way too. So, what is it that prevents us from having a happy end to our lives? There's something that can ultimately hinder that, and that's death. Death is something that is a very big dark spot in our lives that we're headed for, and there's nothing that can be done to avoid it. And death takes everything from us. It takes all of our finances. It takes away all of our human relationships that we've established, and so on. However, if people were able to realize there's a happy ending after death, would that be nothing? There would be no greater happiness than that. In church, we have sent off many people who have passed away. As was just shown on the screen, those people have passed away already. Each of them was born in a different location, have a different character, grew up in different circumstances, and died in different ages and due to different circumstances. However, all of them have a common point, and that is one point, and that is that all of them had a happy ending after their death. Today is Easter. And Easter celebrates how 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ died on the cross and was resurrected. He has given us hope for heaven because of that, and so we're commemorating it and remembering that today. Today in Easter, we are looking at this sermon today with the title of Hope for Heaven. I encourage you to share this hope for heaven with others, and that is one of the main reasons for me speaking today. So in order to have hope for heaven, there's the first point we're looking at today is the problem of sin has to be resolved. In the Old Testament, the first book is Genesis, and it talks about our ancestors of Adam and Eve and how they sinned the first time, and how that sin nature has been passed down through all generations. In Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." The Bible tells about sin and how, because we have it, our relationship with God is broken, and that's why it's impossible for us to just go to heaven automatically. So, if you are told that you are a sinner, do you accept that? most people think of sinners, they're kind of, and they have this weird feeling because they think a sinner is like this severe criminal. However, the standard of sin in the Bible is a little wider than most people's worldly perspective. For example, lying is considered sin. Is there anyone here today who has never told a lie since the day of their birth? If you say you have at that point in time, then you will have lied right then. It's true that every single person has lied at some point in time. Even little children do so. And I can understand this as being a parent. There was once a time in a family where a father was going to eat as Godiva chocolate that he had saved, and all of a sudden it wasn't there. He has older son come up to him and ask the older son, who had chocolate all over his mouth, what had happened to the chocolate. And he said to his father, I have no idea where the chocolate is. So the father didn't say anything and just showed him a mirror. And that was the end of the story. So, and this was just a story of something that happened to some family, and I won't mention any names. So this may be a cute little lie to us, but in our lives, it's true that all of us, and lying at some point has probably hurt somebody else. In the Bible, it says that not only actions, but also things that we think in our heart can also be considered sin. For example, if you want to kill someone or to hurt someone, or you're angry or you're upset with someone and hate someone and envious, those are all forms of sin. So if we're thinking about sin from the perspective of the Bible, then it's something we can realize that none of us are without. And our hearts, what we think in our hearts and what we do, our actions, are things where we need to realize they can actually be related to each other. Because we have sin in our hearts, depending on the circumstances and situations, there is a possibility for anyone to sin at any point. Last month, within the prefecture, there was a severe mountain fire, and it burned 23 days, about 100 hectares of land, which was about 21 times the size of the Tokyo Dome. The cause was likely that hikers had forgotten to put out their cigarettes in the mountains. It's true that most fires start with just a small spark or a small flame, and it just gets expanded and is quite destructive. In the same way, sin can be in very small in our hearts, but then it can be something quite dangerous when it's given the opportunity and we take action on it. It may not hurt only ourselves, but others as well. Each and every person has sin in their hearts. The Bible tells us that, and tells us that as long as there is sin, then we have a broken relationship with God, and after we die, we can't go to heaven. In order for us to be able to go to heaven, we have to have this sin problem resolved. However, there's nothing that we can do on our own, using our own willpower to resolve this. Even if we don't want to think about it, we have to, because we all have sin in ourselves. So, Jesus Christ came to resolve this problem. Jesus Christ took all of our sin upon himself 2,000 years ago. He came as a human to this earth, and at the end of his life, he took all of the sin of all people on the cross. He died and took all of the punishment in our place. On the third day, he was resurrected, resolving this problem of sin. And that's what the Bible teaches. Why is it that Jesus Christ has done this for all of us? Why did he give his life for us? Well, it's because God loves us so much that he gave his only Son. On February 1st, 1974, in São Paulo, Brazil, there was a building, the Joelma building, and a huge fire took place. And many of the people in the building unfortunately lost their lives because of it. At that time, on the 15th floor, there was a 29-year-old mother with a 3-year-old son. At that rate, they realized that they would both die if they didn't get out of the building. And so the woman took off her clothes and took the curtain in front of her and wrapped her son around it. Then she made the decision to jump out of the 15th floor window. In normal circumstances, jumping out of a 15-floor building, which means you would fall at a speed of 100 kilometers an hour, and it would be actually impossible for her to continue to hold on to her son. However, somehow, miraculously, she was able to hold on to him all the way down to the ground. Unfortunately, she died. But her son was miraculously saved because of her body acting as a cushion when she fell. She loved her son so much and wanted to save him that she was willing to give her life for his. And in the same way, Jesus Christ loves each and every one of us even more than she loved her son. He knows that we're all headed toward destruction, and in order to save us, he took all of our sin upon himself on the cross, and in this way, we can be saved. So, how is it that we can receive this salvation Jesus has provided on the cross? What does the Bible say about it? Do we need to do something good? Do we need to just be better people? No, that's not the case. The Bible tells us that anyone who believes in Jesus' death and resurrection and that he has resolved our the problem of sin, if we just believe, then accept this, then we can have our sins forgiven and we can have the hope for heaven. So salvation is a present that is given to us from God. And that's what the main point of the Bible is. In order to have hope for heaven, we'll look at the second point today, and that is that we need to just believe in the resurrection. Jesus Christ was placed on the cross, died, and on the third day he was resurrected and showed himself to the disciples. Why is it that he showed himself to the disciples, though? It's because he wanted to prove that once you die, it's not the end, and he wanted to prove that there is indeed hope for heaven. There are some people who say, well, I can believe that Jesus died on the cross, but I can't believe that he would be resurrected. It's impossible for someone to come back to life after they're dead. Is there really a resurrection? Did he really get resurrected? Actually, regardless of the era, many people have looked at this and they have tried to collect data that will deny and proof that will deny it, that this actually happened. They figured that if they can come up with enough contradictive evidence, then people will just give up on this Christianity theory and move on. However, most of the people who try to find contradictive proof actually are come out believing because they're found that there is no way to deny it. One of the proofs of the resurrection was that the first witnesses of the Jesus Christ resurrection were women. The Bible states this. Why will this become proof that Jesus was resurrected? Well, in the Jewish society at that time, women had a very low status and they didn't have really many rights. Therefore, if it was true Jesus had been resurrected, then it would have been best if it was shown to a man first, according to Jewish law. However, the first people to see the resurrected Christ or hear of it were actually Jesus, were women. And that's because it was just the truth. In addition, Many people try to come up with contradictory theories to disprove the resurrection. For example, hallucination theory. They say that he wasn't resurrected, but the disciples just kind of had this hallucination. But this can't be the case because it's not possible for a lot of people to see the same vision all at the same time. Some people come up with an asphyxia theory or a fabricated death theory. They say that he actually didn't die on the cross. He was just put in a tomb and he was still alive, and so then he came back out. However, if you look at the rules for people being crucified and how it took place, you can find out that in those days, the Roman soldiers were not allowed to take any convict down from the cross unless they were 100% sure he was dead. Because if they took a convict down who was still alive, then they themselves would have to take upon themselves the death penalty. And there was no reason why they would want to do that. If Jesus was still alive somehow after being on the cross, he would have still, been punctured with it in the side and have holes in his hands and feet. There's no way he could have just walked off, and there's no way he could have stood confidently before the disciples. So it's just not possible to be true. Some people come up with also this theory of theft, and that Jesus' body was stolen from the grave. They say that disciples took off with it. However, this is also something that can't be possibly true because the disciples themselves were the ones who, if they were caught with Jesus' body, then they, could have brought the thing to an end, but that's not what happened. So if you really look at the disciples and how they changed after confirming Jesus' resurrection, you can see that it really did take place. Because when Jesus was placed on the cross, the disciples didn't even try to help out. They just all ran away and scattered. However, in a short period of time, they all of a sudden were very confident that Jesus Christ was resurrected, and then they went on to spread it and being killed by the Roman government for doing so. There were 12 disciples of Jesus. Of those, Judas betrayed Jesus and committed suicide, so he was out of the picture. Of the other 11, all of them went on to spread the gospel, and they were captured. And were they all killed, though? Well, of these 11, they all spread the gospel, and 10 were killed for it, and John was left until the end. So people would not die for a lie. They wouldn't go on telling this and turn from people who ran away from Christ to those proclaiming Christ in such a short time if they weren't completely sure that he had been resurrected. And so that's why we can be sure that the disciples met the resurrected Christ. When you think about these facts and the people, many of the people who try to deny it or contradict it, they actually end up becoming Christians in the process, realizing it actually did happen. The resurrection was something that historically did take place. And through this, Jesus Christ was able to show us that we do have hope for heaven because we will be resurrected. When we realize that Jesus' death on the cross and resurrection has resolved our problem of sin, we can have our sin forgiven and we can have hope for heaven. In John 11:25, it says, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And those who have hope for heaven can have various forms of grace for it because they have hope for union in heaven. When meeting the resurrected Christ, the disciples were likely just filled with awe. They were just very surprised and just filled with joy, likely. Jesus Christ was able to reunite with them and prove that they would be able to see not only him, but others, other believers in heaven as well. In the same way, when we receive this present of salvation, we can have hope of seeing other believers who have died in heaven as well. There's a Swiss psychiatrist by the name of Paul Turnier. And when he was 2 months old, his father died. He was raised by his mother, but at the age of six, his mother died of a disease. He was taken up as an orphan and raised in that way and grew up in his early years. He did, however, meet a wonderful woman, was able to get married, and was very, very happy. However, his wife fell ill, and when he was 76 years old, she passed away. He just continued to lose people to death in his life. And how is it that he accepted these deaths? Well, he was able to reflect on this in his conversation with his wife before she died. She said, "I am about to leave this earth, and in heaven, I am going to go meet your parents." And he said, "It's likely my parents, when they see you, they'll say, 'You were a wonderful wife to my husband, so thank you so much for being that.' And I would be happy if your parents said the same to me." She said, "Oh, I think it's time for me to go now." And that's when she did pass away. So Turnier said that heaven is a place, a wonderful place, because he'll be able to meet his parents again. And he'll be able to meet his wife who passed away as well. So he's really much looking forward to it. In many circumstances, many situations, when we say goodbye to people on this earth, it's filled with regret. We wish we could have spent more time with them or done more things for them and done more for our parents, or when we lose our children, it's very difficult to see them go as well. However, we realize that even if we can't accomplish all we want to do in this life, we know that there's a place where we will be able to do everything we can ever dream of, and that's heaven. And just how wonderful and a great place will it be? No one knows. But just as an image of like what it could just be a part of, we'll look at this video that was taken of a family awaiting their son who was a soldier in the Iraq War. So let's watch their family's reaction to his surprise visit home. So even if it's, this great that we can have a reunion on earth, how much greater will it be to have such a reunion in heaven? For us, there are people that we do want to see, and there's people who are waiting to see us as well. The Bible explains that after death, we can have hope for heaven. It says that as long as we believe in Jesus Christ and his resurrection, we can have our sin forgiven and resolve this problem of sin. All we need to do is to believe. Then our sin will be forgiven, and we can have hope for reunion in heaven with others. I hope you will remember that as we celebrate Easter today. And I also encourage you to share this truth with others who do not know it. Allow them to have the truth in their hearts. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be able to celebrate Easter today. Because of our sin, we were all headed for destruction. However, we know that you loved each and every one of us and love each and every one of us so much that you sent your Son 2,000 years ago to this earth. At the end of his life, he died upon the cross to take all of our sins upon himself and receive the punishment that we should have had. He was resurrected. He was died, buried, and was resurrected on the third day, proving that this problem has been resolved. Those of us who are thankful and can accept this can be forgiven of our sin and have hope for eternal life. We're very thankful for that. There's many people who we want to see again. And there's people in heaven awaiting us. We have hope for this reunion and want to live our lives in light of that. We want to be able to share this hope with others who don't know about it as well. We're thankful for this opportunity, Lord, to remember you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we'll have a time of prayer and silence.